Hey, everybody. Wow. Welcome back. So listen, this is Lifeswaning. I know I've been off the air for a long time. I have no excuse for that other than the fact that I really don't have any friends. I have friends, but none that want to drive out to the suburbs to come record a podcast with me. So anyways, we're in the middle. It's April 2020. We're in the middle of a global pandemic and a lockdown, nationwide lockdown, where people really aren't allowed to leave their homes because we have a virus that's coming around the world and it's killing not a lot of people, but it's killing enough people where it's pretty serious. So anyways, I re-engaged with some old friends that I used to work with back in San Antonio, and they just, because of the downturn in the economy, because of the virus and the oil and gas market is just crazy right now. So their company that they work for did a massive layoff. So I reconnected with some of my friends that I hadn't talked to in a while, a couple of years, but they're very good friends nonetheless. I mean, they're lifelong friends. And I had a good long hour long conversation with my friends Margaret. And she recently got laid off. She's been a fantastic friend. She's spunky, smart, very, very energetic. Your cheeks hurt after having, you spend 30 minutes with her, your cheeks hurt because you're laughing so hard. She just brings the best out of everybody. She's phenomenally talented and funny and just a wonderful, wonderful, warm-hearted person. I think she stabbed somebody before, like in her youth, but that was a long time ago. But that's a joke. But no, she's a fantastic person. Just I absolutely adore Marjorie. So she was a victim of the recent layoff. So we talked and we just reconnected. And I asked her. I said, maybe it'd be really good. And she didn't know I did a podcast. So I sent her a couple of my best dubs. And she's like everybody else, she's like, oh my god, I love it, it's the best thing I've ever heard, it's so entertaining, I'm laughing hours on end, what do I got to do to be on there, I want to be a guest. And so what I try and avoid doing phone interviews or phone co-hosts via phone right now, it's like everybody's doing it because nobody can go to studios. And while she lives in San Antonio and I live in Houston, it's not exactly feasible for her to drive to my studio. So we did a phoner, and so I got another phone interview with her, and I'm not going to lie, it was so good. I mean, as an hour and 30 minutes just flew by, or an hour and 20 minutes flew by, at least in my head, because I thought it was funny. You guys are probably going to go crazy, but we didn't even finish, so we're going to have to do another one after this, and you know what, maybe another one after that. So guys, let me know what your thoughts are. I listen to I read all the emails, I read all the comments. I get dozens and dozens of emails still, which is fantastic. I'm glad you guys are all still interested. I want to know what you think. I'd like to, like I said, I got to have her back at least once more because there's so much we haven't even covered yet. We talked about, being a female in the workplace and, her experiences with sexual harassment, just what she's seen, how it is, in a male-dominated industry. She works in construction, so it's a fairly male-dominated industry. We talked about just growing up, getting in trouble. We talked about, what it's like now dating. She's a single mom. Guys, she's very attractive. I will put a picture on there, and if you guys want, I will definitely give you her phone number and put in a good word for just about anybody. She's as single as they come, and she's, anybody will do. I'm just kidding. No, she's fantastic. But anyways, we talked about dating and what it's like from a female perspective, especially now with all the modern apps and whatnot. So anyways, it's a really, really, really good show. I loved it. One of my favorites so far. So and I hope to have her back. Anyways, I know this is a long introduction. I'll shut the fuck up. But guys, we're back. We'll be doing more of these on the air at least once a week. So sit back, enjoy, and on with the show. Thank you. Okay, I think we're on. Margaret, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Great. Yeah, this is nice. Oh, it's good to be back. Oh,
hey,
This is nice. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good considering the circumstances, you know.
Well, so
life is good.
So life is good. So listen, speaking of life, that's the name of the game here. This is life-splaining, and it's been a few months, I think, just maybe a handful of months, maybe a half a dozen or so that I've had a podcast out. But anyways, I'm basically, we're back. Nothing's happened. We're in good shape, and I have my friend Margaret here. So I should probably give you a full-on introduction. So with me today, Margaret, say hi.
Hey, guys.
All right. So with me on the phone is my friend Margie, one of my coworkers that I used to work with back in San Antonio. She is 4'11". How tall are you, Margaret?
Yeah, that's about right.
About 4'11" and about the meanest, leanest, most awesome friend I've ever had. One of the greatest partners in crime when it comes to going out, even though you can pretty much count that you're going to lose her at some point in the evening.
But
you and I, so we met at work when we used to work at Zachary. We both used to work there. Probably what, 15 years ago or so, at least. What year did we meet? Okay, so about 12 years ago or so. Oh, it had been more than that, though. Anyways, so because it feels a lot longer. So we met as coworkers. We hit it off immediately because I'm a lot of fun, you're a lot of fun, and we just naturally gelled together. And I don't know how it was, if we went to lunch a lot, or then that morphed into happy hours and then going out, and then I realized how ghetto you were, but... but we've had a lot, man. We've had a lot of fun. I've introduced you to many of my friends. Most of
them felt safe around me.
Yeah, actually, you know what's funny? I think almost all of my guests that I've had on this podcast know you very well, with the exception of maybe two. I think the rest of them actually know you really well, and all have equally funny stories about you. And that's what I was going to say. I think that's one of the most fun things about it is there's certain friends that I have, you, another friend of mine, Amanda. It's like there's always a story or two that everybody has about, like, oh, that night when so-and-so got a DWI and we couldn't, you passed out in the car and there was no way we can go to the next bar because you were way too drunk. We'll get into all of that. We'll get into all those shenanigans, but nonetheless, but what's funny is that most people have a hard time understanding that I could have female friends because I'm such a, such a charming guy. I don't know, or the people could like me for as long as they have, but we've been friends for an awful long time.
Yeah, we have.
And I don't think you've tried to stab me once.
Well, those is one time, and I think you should tell that story, but, you know, when you sent a text message to the wrong person.
Yeah, every year that comes up, and I think that's great. So, yeah, so we met at work, we hung out a lot, we have a lot of, and then you introduced me to a lot of your friends. Actually, no, you just introduced me to one, right?
That's probably all I had at that time.
Anyways, so we've been friends for a long time. We both used to work at Zachary. I left there 8 years ago or so. You left there recently, like a couple days
Friday,
ago.
Friday, actually.
Friday. Yeah, you finally
I got fired on my day off.
You finally told me. Was it your day off too? You finally told him, like, you know what, bitches, I'm done. I've had enough of this shit. I'm out. But yeah, so you recently joined the I'm not even gonna blame it on COVID. I've been talking to a lot of my friends that got laid off recently from that company, and they're all blaming it on COVID. I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I think maybe there was some. I don't think it was that. I think the company made, like, I definitely think the company's probably hurting for money, but I think maybe they had some bad projects that lost a shitload of money before a global pandemic. Maybe that had something to do with it, but I don't know. What do I know? What do I know? All I know is, so, do you want to talk about that? Have you ever been fired before, or is this the first time?
I've never been fired before.
Well, let me ask you this. Wait, have you ever had another job besides Zachary?
Yes. So, I want to say maybe 3 years before I started Zachary is when my professional life kicked off, you know?
When you say professional, do you mean like you went from like the streets to like, you know, fully clothed in an office? Or I don't understand what you mean.
Exactly. Yeah, I went from like street cred to like office cred, regular cred.
I could see you as like some like mid to high level dealer, you know, or distributor of whatever they call them in the streets. Right. Yeah, yeah, going around collecting. So,
well, you know, I'm still trying to be a little professional.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm still learning. Of course.
The streets did me good. I was with Zachary for 12 years. I've never been fired, never been laid off from any other previous job that I've had. Most of them have been, for the most part, seasonal.
Oh, okay.
Job, you know?
Okay.
So it was expected to be laid off when Christmas was over or the summer was over. So
okay. So what kind of seasonal jobs did you have? Were you like a Santa's elf?
It was all retail.
Oh, were you in retail? Oh yeah, yeah. I can see how that's totally. Man, you know what? I was talking to somebody who did retail before. I suspect the markups that consumers pay at retail places are ridiculously high. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I figured it's like it's got to be somewhere above 30% at least, because you got to pay for the building, you got to pay for the person selling you the shit, putting it in a bag, you got to pay for somebody stocking it, like all of that adds up, and so there's got to be this massive markup to get stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so you did a lot of you did a lot of retail work, and then you got a job working in an office where you had to watch your mouth. You couldn't cuss at customers, and you had to be polite.
That's a fucking lie. I didn't have to watch my mouth. Hey, it was a man's world. I didn't have to watch my mouth.
So yeah. So speaking of which, you know what so here's what I want to know, and please don't say names, especially if it's mine. But like, when you were working. And this is like, okay, from 2008 to 2020, did you experience any kind of like sexual harassment at work? And like I said, don't say names, especially if it's mine, but like, do you have a Me Too story?
Well, this one time, Lenny, you did.
Oh, trust me. There's been some stories. I can guarantee you there was one. Oh man. Whenever we do those hunting ranches or the leases or the business planning retreats where we'd go to like, oh, you never went to those, did you?
I never was able to get, no.
Oh,
get
man, in. The business planning retreats.
Was it like a cult thing, like a Davidian?
No. It was like we would go to like a resort, like in the middle of the hill country, in the middle of nowhere, Texas. We would all drive, you know, an hour and a half out of town, and we'd stay at this amazing resort, beautiful food, all the, you know, beer, liquor, wine. We all had our own little hotel rooms, and we'd go through set our business plan for the next year, what we wanted to accomplish and whatnot. And we had, you know, some of the vice presidents would come in and, you know, discuss with us what the, you know, what we should do. And basically it was like a two-day, two-night debauchery of drinking and, I mean, we got a business plan together, but in the evening it was bonfires, guitars, drinking, and a lot of fun. It was, man, it was crazy. But yeah, so did you so besides all that shit, did you have any kind of sexual harassment or anything like that? You feel, again, we don't want to incriminate anybody, but I'm just kind of curious if you have your Me Too story.
Yeah, you know, there's a few. There's a few things that have happened to me while, you know, working in this industry. I never reported anything because, you know, I'm from the streets. I thought, for sure, I can handle myself, right? This doesn't need to go to HR.
Oh, man. So like, what, I mean, was it like, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with somebody else. This was like when I used to work there, and she was like, man, I wish things would go back to like the good old days, like in the '50s. And I'm like, you mean like where I'd be asking you to give me some coffee toots? Like, what are you talking about?
Smoking in the break room.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to think, it's funny. Cause that was like, That took place like, you know, 12 or 13 years ago when that person made that comment. I remember thinking to myself, like, how could you as a female want to go back to an era when, you know, women barely had the right to leave the house, you know, let alone pursue a professional career, you know, mm-hmm. like they were allowed to go, you know, work as, you know, in the factories when all the men were at war. But when the men came back, they were expected to go back and, you know, it was terrible. And women had a terrible, 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 and by the way, as if I know in any way whatsoever, but nonetheless, but I remember thinking back then, I'm like, you know, it's gotten better.
Way back when.
Yeah. And I'm like, surely it's gotten better. But then, you know, I don't know. It's funny. It's, you see it, you hear about it still. And it's, I don't know, I guess it's pretty tragic.
I think women just don't tolerate it as much as they would. You know what I mean? I think by reporting these types of things, I think women feel empowered to report. Back then, I think they were in fear if they ever reported something like that, especially if it was their boss. You know, that was their income. So why would they say anything?
That's a good point.
That's my take on it. And then now, I mean, if you report it, you walk around with your chin up. You walk around with your, you know, your head high because you did something to help other women later on in the future. Let's just say it's somebody at work and he's still working there and you report it. Well, now he's not working there. Well, guess what? You helped out a lot of other women. So I think there's more of an empowerment there when it gets reported nowadays.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good. It's definitely good to hear. I don't know that all women feel that way. I think you're pretty strong natured, strong willed. So, like I said, that's your street cred. That's your your ghetto sign. I keep it real.
Meet me outside. Yeah.
But yeah, I think you know there's probably still a lot of women that still suffer with all that, and also, you know, I think it's also probably like there's part of it like, well, they don't want to jeopardize what they have. I think, I don't know, did you ever feel bad for the person that was doing it, like that was, or did you always be like, no, you motherfucker, you gotta cut that shit out?
Well let me tell you about one person in particular there at work, female, was very enticing, very provocative, very, I mean, she would dress uh-huh. very provocative.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Work.
Yeah, I like it. Right? I like the way this is going. Yeah. Uh-huh. slow down. Say it slower. Say it slower.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, there were a few gentlemen who fell, I guess you can say, fell under her spell, and they're no longer there at Zachary. I feel that this can go both ways. You know, if you are trying to entice a married man, you know he's married. I mean, that you shouldn't even do that. Don't even think about that.
Of course
right?
not. Of course.
So I blame her, right? I blame her. But then I also blame the married guy. I also blame the gentleman who kind of gave in. You know, why would you give in? Why would you do that? You're married.
So when you say he gave in to her spell, like, what does that mean? Like, he was staring at her boobs in, like, in a meeting? Or he, like, touched them? Or like...
Well, I mean, you know, people talk. And so I heard that they were seeing each other. He was seeing the girl that worked there. He was seeing her. Well, of course, he's still married. You know, he has a family. He's very successful within the company. And
was? You mean was?
Was, yeah. Was. Poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
He got laid and then laid off.
I'm going to edit that shit out so fucking fast. That was a terrible joke. So, you know, I think that story happens all the time. I mean, I think that's just a natural thing. It's funny. I've heard some terrible things. Like I've heard when I first started working at Zachary, I remember first project manager I had made it very clear to me that he put it in a very crude way, but you don't get your sexual satisfaction and your paycheck at the same place. And I think there's, yeah. I think there's probably some good truth to that. I mean, a lot of people have gotten married and have successful relationships with coworkers. I think that also happens too. So, I mean, I don't know, general statement like that. I guess if it's like, obviously if you're, well, no, you know, there's people that have, you know, left spouses and, you know, it happens. I mean, it's, I don't know. It happens. Yeah, it happens. I guess the thing that you don't want to know or you don't want to have happen or the thing that the, where it gets bad is where it's like it's unwarranted, in a situation where a girl and a guy are like, you know, they're obviously into each other and they have an affair, inter-office affair. You know, that's not exactly illegal, right? Like, granted, you don't want them banging in the conference room. Even though, what's fucking funny?
Or in the copy room.
In the copy room. You know, there, or the mail room. There are a lot of people I know that have either seen that or, like, have done that. And I'm like, and some of them were like, could you use a different conference room? We actually like that conference room, and we don't want to, like, go in there knowing that you guys, like, and Lysol the table. Like, we would.
I know.
But it's weird. And then also it's like, and then I've heard other people say, like, how hard up do you have to be to want to do it at work? Like, an office building is the most nastiest. Like, how could you, like, connect? Like, oh, I have this report done. I got to get this agreement, this contract done, and I want to get my nut off too. Like, how do you make that connection? For guys, I know it's easy because guys are like,
I don't understand that. I think something is mentally wrong with that person that feels they need to do that at work. Like,
well, so let me ask you this. Have
go
you
to
ever
your car or something? Can't you go to your car? Like,
yeah. go to your car like the rest of us. Go to the Chili's parking lot like the rest of us and wait your turn.
No, okay. Shit. Like, go to South Park Mall or something. You get free Wi-Fi over there, dude.
You can check your email while you're getting dressed. Okay, so, all right, so let me ask you this. Have you ever been attracted to a coworker besides me? Besides me, have you ever been attracted to a coworker?
Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Lenny, but the answer is no. No, I haven't. So when I first started working there, I quickly...
Wait, hang on. I don't mean exactly. Realized. I mean anywhere.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No. My dad had always instilled... he would always tell us, like, you don't dip your pen in company ink, right?
Why does everybody have a stupid saying for that? Like, you don't dip your...
I don't know, but like...
And like, you're like, did you ask, like, Dad, I'm 11 years old. What pen? I don't have a pen.
It's a pen.
That phrase is for a guy, by the way. Like, the pen is a euphemism for a penis.
Is it like a felt tip pen, Dad? I don't know.
Does it have a cap or is it Jewish?
That cap or no cap? Is it dried out?
Yeah, what are you talking about here? That's terrible. Okay, so go on. So yeah, so your dad gave you some solid advice about not doing that. So that was something that you got early on, and it kind of stuck with you then.
What's that?
So when your dad gave you that advice, that kind of just stuck with you. You kind of just took it to heart, and like that was it. You never you just kind of tuned out. Like even if like Zac Efron or the Hispanic version of Zac Efron was like. In the office, like, and he was modeling, you know, I don't know, very tight shirts. Like, even then, you've never been attracted to anybody at work like that? You just kind of knew, well, you were able to tune it out? Because that sounds like bullshit to me.
was able to tune it out to a certain extent. Don't let me fool you. I would flirt like a motherfucker. You know what I mean?
But that was for career. That was just for your career.
But I wouldn't
games.
End up in the copy room. That's for damn sure.
Oh man!
I have all my business out there on the printer. No, thank you.
Gross. Also, by the way, you are totally like carbon dating your age now, because nobody uses a fucking printer. Like, that's just that. Like, there's people that are under 30 that don't even know what the fuck a printer is.
Oh my god, I know. But I'm not 40 yet, so I'm good.
Sure. Me neither. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so you've never been attracted to anybody at work. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, even if you were, though, would you ever be like, ooh, yeah, let's go to the conference room Z05 and, like, go bang? Like, I don't know. It just seems, I don't know.
No, and you know what, Lenny? Like, I hear stories like that all the time about work. Seriously. And you know, like, guys would ask me, too, like, what? Guys aren't like that with you at work? No, I think it's more of a personal thing. You don't let it get to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You keep flirtation down to a minimum, and, you know, you just prance around looking good and looking cute. Hey.
Oh, what, this? I just threw this on.
I just frolic in the coffee room.
Yeah. Just sashay around the office. Like, what? That's how I walk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's what's funny is, because before I was married and after I was, my idea of, like, what turned women on before I was married is completely different to, like, what I realized turned women on after I got married. Like, before I got married, I thought women were turned on by, like, you know, thoughtful gifts, you know, roses,
yeah.
You know, flattering presents, you know, things like that. I thought that's what turned women on. Then after I got married, I realized what turns my wife on is, like, sleep and, like, me giving our daughter a bath and putting her to bed. Like, that turns my wife on. That, you know, going to the store.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. actually, you know what works really well is, like, concessions, like saying you're right. Man, that works like a charm.
Yeah, I'm with Amy on that one.
People like, seriously. People like, it's not Amy, it's everybody. People like to be told they're right. Even if you don't mean it, and you'll hear me do it a lot tonight. No, you're right.
You're right.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. No, people like to be told that they're right. They like that affirmation. It makes them feel confident. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel a little. Even though I hate the word phrase alpha, because I don't believe it's a true phrase, but they like to feel. It makes them feel a little alpha. They like that. I think that works. Anyways,
I think it makes the person feel good in the relationship, secure in the relationship, kind of open in the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they feel valued. I will say that's like, so, you know, it is one of the things, I don't know, it's weird. I think back at, like, you know, I worked at that company for, I worked there for 10 years, and then I had left. And I remember when I had left, it wasn't really because of money, or it wasn't because, it was really because.
You were at Zachary for 10 years?
Yeah, I was there for 10 years. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean, wow? What the fuck is wow? What the fuck does that mean?
That's awesome, Lenny. I'm so proud of you. Did you get laid off too?
No. What? What?
You quit.
Yes.
You quit?
How do you quit on me?
Yeah.
How do you? Yeah. I had a going away party and a going away lunch. They don't give you a going away lunch when they fire you. Did you get a going away lunch?
Well, yeah, kind of. Like, we did like a virtual happy hour.
Dude, so it's, yeah, it's, no, it's, yeah, you know, I don't want to badmouth Zachary, but Zachary's a good company. They're, I guess they're hitting some hard times right now, as everybody is, right? Everybody's hitting some hard times. I think it's
now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. Look, I mean, you know, right now I'm currently employed. I could get laid off any minute, any second. So, but that's okay, right? Like, shit happens. It's not the end of the world.
It's okay, but it's scary. You know what I mean? It's very scary, and especially when you don't expect it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, and truth be told, you know, you're a single mom. You're is the cougar the right phrase? I don't know. So you're single mom.
Well, what's the technical term for a cougar? Is there like a certain age that these women need to be in?
It's you, Margaret. It's you. You're a cougar. Don't worry. You're there. Because you know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work if you continue to get older because the gate keeps moving. Like the goal, you know, it's like when you're, trust me, to a 20-year-old, you're a cougar, honey. You are a cougar, right? So
I feel dirty. I feel big.
Whatever. So anyways, I don't know. I think it's definitely different. I mean, if Amy and I both got laid off, like, yeah, it'd be a little stressful. But I mean, you know. The thing is, it's like, it's the thing is like when you have a skill and you have like high desirable skills right now, they're not desirable, but like in 6 months they will be. It's like shit opens up all the time. I will say, like, San Antonio is a tough town. You live in San Antonio. I live in the Houston area, and San Antonio is a tough town because your skill is not in high demand in that town. In this town, right. Fucking, you got to be shitting me. Like, there's five companies within a block that need people with your skill set. So, like, I mean, maybe not right this second, but in 6 months, there sure as fuck will be, right? Or in a year, there sure as hell will be. And, you know, so it's like, there's just, you know, the thing is, it's like, it's all about, like, supply and demand, I guess. So, I don't right. know. And I'm talking like I know what the fuck you're feeling. I have no idea. Like, that's definitely a different thing for me. It would definitely suck, but I don't know if I got the hook, which, like I said, it could happen. I wouldn't take it personally. I would just say, like, yeah, this shit sucks right now. Like, the fucking economy sucks, the market sucks. You know, we've got a global pandemic that sucks. We have you know, I don't want to get all political, but we have a leader of this country that doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, he's just, you know, he's like, it was like that. There's like that Celebrity Jeopardy from SNL where they're like, one of the categories are they out here saying, and it's the, what is it? Black Jeopardy. They out here saying, you know, and that's exactly, yeah. You know, people are saying that the heat's going to scare this virus away. Like, what the fuck? What? So anyways, it's all those things are kind of like a perfect storm where, like, fucking shit could happen any minute, but. Anyways, enough about that negative shit. Let's talk about you being single.
Single. Wow. So, yeah, I've been single for 3 years already.
Who were you dating before? You had a boyfriend before? I didn't know that. I thought you'd been single forever.
It seems like forever, but, you know, I had little flings here and there, but those don't count.
Oh, yeah, no, nobody counts those. But you had
nobody counts those.
You had a serious relationship?
Yes.
I didn't know. What happened? Did he see? Without makeup?
Had the Brady Bunch going, and it was too hard to work out between two types of different parenting. You know.
Oh, that's interesting. What was?
Yeah, it was a very, very blended family, mixed family. With the. My last relationship, he had three other kids that lived with him. He was a single dad. His wife had passed away previously, you know, before we dated, of course. And then, so he had his three kids there at home with him. And then, of course, I had my two. So it was five kids under one roof. And he had his way of parenting. I had my way of parenting. And we just really collided. And
so wait a minute. You guys moved in with each other?
Yeah, we did.
How long were you dating before you moved in?
We dated for a year before I moved in.
And you moved into his place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, so if I remember correctly, you owned a house, and then did you just sell it and you moved in with his place? You moved into him?
I just left, and I was actually, that was even before that time, Lenny. Before you had
myself
on the doorstep, and you know,
yeah,
that's a different story.
Different story for another time. So you'd left your place, and you and your kids moved into his house.
Yes.
Wow. And he had three kids and you had two. Were the kids roughly the same age?
Yeah. They were. My daughter, of course, was the oldest. And she was in high school. And then he had a daughter, too, who was in elementary school. But she was, you know, nearing fifth grade. And she was very, very mature for her age. And then my son and his youngest son, they, I guess you can say, dormed. You know, they shared a room and whatnot. But you know, as far as the household goes, everybody was situated just right. Everything was fine. But it was just, you know, my kids weren't accustomed to living with other kids, and neither were his. So it just became very, very detrimental to the relationship because, you know, he had his style of parenting and I had mine. And, you know, whenever we tried to, you know, mesh those two styles together, it just didn't work out.
What, do you mind me asking what the two different styles were?
He was very, very laid back as a parent, as opposed to me always being on top of my kids. I like to make sure that they're getting things done in a, you know, timely manner, making sure that they're on top of their chores, that there's some type of structure, you know, in their life.
Mm-hmm.
He necessarily didn't care to implement any type of structure. And that's what kind of broke the camel's back or whatever you want to call it.
When you say structure, is it like chores or is it like, you know, you have a routine? Like, what do you mean? Is that what you mean by
routine?
Structure?
Routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, routine. You know, and it was just five kids. And I always tried to buy groceries like in bulk, you know, and whenever we would run out of like certain weekly snacks, like, hey guys, that was it. Sorry, you know, y'all ate up all the snacks. But I mean, little did they know I had some snacks hidden because of this reason. There was just so many kids, and so many is like, I mean, five is a lot for me. But, you know, it was just a lot of kids to manage. And it was a little difficult at some times, you know, at some point. And
they probably ate a fuckload of food, huh? Five kids.
Yeah.
No, my daughter's five. She eats a shitload of food. And it's like, it's not like there's only three of us in our house. So it's not like it's not like we're pounding, you know, snacks all the time. But like, I can imagine with five kids and like two of them are teenagers or close to, like, that's shit. They're going to be going through some potato chips. And the thing is, it's like I never grew up with snacks. Like, I'm like, this doesn't sound like a problem to me because my mom just didn't buy snacks. The snacks that my mom bought is the shit we wouldn't want to eat. So like, we didn't have potato chips fucking non-existent in my house. Like, we never had potato chips. When I go to the grocery store now, I never buy like snacks. I don't buy snacks. Mm-hmm. I cook fucking meals. Like, you know, I don't have.
Yeah.
You know, I might have like cheese and some. And I know people are gonna make fun of me, but like, yeah, I'll get cheese on like a charcuterie plate or something. Like, I'll get some cold cuts and stuff like that. But like potato chips and like candy bars and shit like that. Like, that's fucking Halloween. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Snacks. Yeah. Anyways.
So snacks are like, you know, your little cheese dips, what is it called? Goldfish, little Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
You know, those after school snacks, because we didn't have them in after school care.
Yeah.
And the school was right around the corner. So, you know, they would come home we were off of work.
I'm with you 100%. Don't get me wrong. I'm with you 100% because Emma, when she gets home, like, she's hungry. She wants a snack. Like, I'm all in with that. I get it now. But like I said,
what is it? I don't know why the kids are like that. I'm like, food. You just had lunch like 6 hours ago.
Because they probably didn't eat the fucking lunch. Like they ate like two bites because they didn't like it. They're like, I'm gonna wait for the fucking goldfish, bitch.
Yeah. So. Can I get two, Mom?
Yeah. Exactly. So they would go through the snacks and but he was a little bit more laid back and you were a little bit more on top of the kids, and so you and your boyfriend at the time just couldn't work that out. You couldn't get past that. And not to say that it's small, but that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, of course not. I think definitely we would have been able to get past that. It was just, you know, other things that you know, he was still trying to get over and work through. That I couldn't really help him on that, you know?
As I tried. Yeah, I can imagine that's got to be super tough.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I mean, parenting styles, they vary. I don't know. Like, it's funny, man. It's like nobody can tell you how to raise your kid, right? Like, that's just like sacred ground. And like, even though you think you might be doing a good job, like, you know, deep down, like, oh, we're going to fuck this up somewhere. Like, there's going to be some like long-term effect. And it's like, and you hear the joke all the time. You're like, as long as I just keep her off the pole, like, I'm fine. It's good. You know, like, and that's a reference. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, as long as we can do that, you know, but like, you're always thinking like, you know, and I don't know, like, is there really a right or wrong answer? I don't know. I think, I don't know. I grew up getting hit pretty frequent, not frequently, but I caught my fair share of beatings. And I don't necessarily think that was a good thing. I don't think that I'm like a model citizen for like what should, like, I don't want my daughter to turn out like me. Like, don't get me wrong. I love my mom and my dad very much with all my heart, but I did some terrible shit and they hit the shit out of me and it didn't stop me. So like, it obviously didn't work. I got good at not getting caught, but that doesn't help. Like in the big picture, that didn't help me any. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's tough.
So I think we kind of grew up the same way. You know, my parents were very, very strict with me, but somehow I still found myself in some deep shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because it's fun.
In jail at 16. You know what I mean? I mean,
you got arrested at 16?
My dad left me there overnight. I learned my lesson.
No way.
Yes.
Is that when you got stabbed in the boobs?
He was laughing when he picked me up. I was so pissed off.
What? Wait, so, whoa, you got arrested at 16?
Yeah, I must have been 15, 16, yeah.
Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't go in your rap sheet. What did you do? Did you punch a cop?
Minor in possession.
Of what?
Alcohol.
Eh.
I was driving and I had alcohol in my car.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
This was in Balcony's Heights, dude.
Well, nobody knows what that is. This is a global show. People are listening from Scandinavia. They don't know what the fuck Balcony's High. Somewhere in Texas.
Yeah. Like a city in a city.
So that's bullshit. You know, like, I had friends that got arrested for doing blow in a bathroom in Mexico by the Mexican police. Like the Mexican undercover
police.
Oh, hell no. That's in jail. Like, you had... Like, was it even open, or was it you just had like a case of beer in the car?
I had a case of beer in the car. I can't remember if it was open. I know it was in the back seat, so it was within arm's reach because I'm in a two door.
Yeah, but it wasn't even open. And so what? It's not even like you drank the shit yet. Were you drunk?
No, I can't say that I was drunk. I don't recall. I don't think I was.
That's probably why your dad was laughing, because it's like, you got in a little bit of trouble, but it's not like you were doing anything terrible. Like, you were driving with... What were you going to do with the beer?
Huh?
What were you going to do with the beer?
Drink it, of course.
Trade it for Coke? You're going to go trade it with some like real minor, like in the real white neighborhood, and like trade it for some good cocaine. Like, oh, goddamn, that is bad. That is really bad.
Dude, that was my first MIP.
Minor MIP. Oh, minor in possession. Yeah.
Minor in possession.
First,
yeah,
so you had multiple?
Yes, I've had multiple.
Really?
I was so much fun. You think I'm fun now, Leonard? Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Ah, that's crazy. I don't think I've ever been arrested. Like, I've gotten in my fair share. I'm a good talker. I'm you know, when you're funny, like you're blessed with the gift of gab. I could probably talk my way out about a 95% of shit. Like, I've talked my.
I believe it.
Yeah. I got pulled over one. Man, oh, fuck. This is crazy. So I had a friend from college come visit. We were living in San Antonio. And we decided, he was working for Microsoft at the time. And we decided to do happy hour. And we went to that, like, that Hawaiian Japanese fusion place in that mall that had the kamikaze, or what are the sake bombs? So we were slamming slamming sake bombs like from 5 to 6:30, eating some sushi, and then we went to a couple more bars, and we were then we started doing Irish car bombs, which I think is an insensitive phrase. I don't think that's the right thing to say because it's insensitive to cars, but we were doing those, and then we went to another bar. It was like from 5 to 2 in the morning. So what is that? 5 to 1:30. So it was like an 8-hour bender. Like, it was a long night of drinking. And this is when I was like, I was pretty much at my fattest and I had my highest tolerance. But nonetheless, it was a big, heavy night. And I remember I was driving back to my apartment and I was fucking shit-faced. But I was like still, wait a minute. I take it back. I wasn't shit-faced because I could still talk, but I definitely was over the limit, and I should not have been driving. I don't condone it. Terrible decision, but nonetheless, and I know for the God's honest truth, I was not swerving. But the cop pulled me over nonetheless because it was like 1:30, 1:45, and of course, like, single guy in a fucking car on his way, in a shitty car on the way to an apartment. Like, hey, I'm drunk. Like, he knows. Yeah, you left the bar. You're drunk. And like, he's walking up like, sir, I smell the alcohol. I'm like, you fucking have me. I haven't even rolled the window yet. But anyways, but now he rolled the window. And then he started giving me he started asking me some questions. And have you had much to drink? I'm like, I've had a couple of drinks. I met some friends out for dinner and da 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 da. And then he's like, can you step out of the car, please? And like, I was leaning against the door. So like, my fat leg and my leg fat was kind of like, so when the door opened, I kind of like, and I just kind of spilt out a little bit. And then, I was wearing some big giant flip flops that were way too big. And so I was, he started giving me a field sobriety test and I was like, holy shit. I'm like, wait a minute. I halfway through it came, like, it clicked. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you giving me a field sobriety test? He's like, yes, you fucking idiot. I'm giving you a field sobriety test. And I'm like, holy shit. And so then
he's like, this is it.
This
is really happening.
This
bro.
Is it. This is going down, fucker. Like, and I was super fat back then. He's like, yeah, fuck it, let's go, Tubby. And so like, he starts getting, and he's like, walk on this line back and forward. He's having me touch my nose. He's having me follow the pen. And I'm fucking nailing it. I am fucking nailing all of it. At least I thought I was. And so I'm like almost done in this field sobriety test. And mind you, this is like 13, 14 years ago, like way past the statute of limitations. So I get done with this field sobriety test and like, I am positive I failed. Like, I'm like, I'm fucking going into pokey. And I started talking to the cop about like, and this is like at the time the city started deducting their pay or cutting their salaries and stuff. And I was like, man, listen, I just want you to know, I feel terrible about the way you guys are being treated. You guys are out here doing a lot of da, da, da. And I started patronizing.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Lenny.
Yes. I touched him. I touched him on the shoulder. Like, I gave him like a consoling pat on the shoulder. And he asked me like, sir, where do you live? I'm like, I live in an apartment complex, like 300 feet that way. And he's like, okay, let's just get in. And like, he signaled to get in the car. And go to the, and so I started walking to his car. And he's like, no, get in your car and go home.
you're gonna get in your car.
No, I thought I was getting arrested. Like, when he said get in the car, I'm like, okay. I was like, all right, I give up.
You're like, my car, your car.
Yeah.
My car, your car.
No, I was like, I was sure I was getting arrested. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. fair enough. Probably best this way anyways. And so I start walking to his cop car, like the back seat. He's like, no, sir. Get in your car and go home. That's right where I'm going.
Get the fuck out of here.
Just get the fuck out of here.
I don't want to see you again.
Get the fuck out of here. If you touch me again, I'm going to fucking pull out the nightstick. Well, fucking stick time for you. So anyways, it was crazy. It was crazy. And you're getting an MIP for fucking having a case of booze in the backseat. There's a million stories that you could have come up. I would have been like, officer, listen, my dad was insisting on driving to the store. I didn't want him to leave the house because I just thought it would be safer. I figured I'd go get it for him. I'd let him drink at the house. It'd be safer that way. Boom, done.
So I wasn't alone when that happened. I actually had one of my girlfriends with me.
Then you say the same shit. Listen, she's my cousin, and our dad and her father are having a family reunion. They wanted to go to the store. We insisted that they didn't because they'd already started drinking. We didn't want them. We did this ourselves. I'm sorry, officer. I know it was not right, but it was better than having my dad go to the store driving, you know, the way he was.
Yeah, I was like, I want to show him how to be responsible.
As you're smoking like a blunt or something.
I want to show him what responsibilities look like.
Oh, man. So,
there was another time that I did get an additional MIP during my high school years. So, we were at like a house party, of course, and everybody was passing around a bong and joints and whippets. Do you remember whippets?
No, I don't know what the fuck. It's like what they put in air conditioners. It's like nitrogen or something.
Yes, dude. So like we were getting high off whippets. It was like the best thing ever, right? And so the cops come in the backyard because that's where we're all, you know, partying at. And the cops come in the backyard and people are like flying away like roaches. Like someone turn on the lights. You know what I mean?
Like, run!
They're jumping the fence and like I can't run that fast. I can't even jump a 6-foot fence. I'm not going anywhere, dude. I'm right here, you know. I don't have any kind of leap whatsoever. So I just stay there and he gives me a citation and next thing I know my dad's walking me into court. Like he's like escorting me into the courtroom and I'm like, so guilty. So they made me do community service hours for that one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So.
Yeah.
So you were kind of a wild child. You straightened up for your work life. You had some good solid years, and you had a fairly serious relationship that ended about 3 years ago. Let me ask you, what is it like? What is the dating scene like for you now? Are you using apps? Are you using, I don't know, is there like special things now or is there like, you know, hand signals or what's dating like in 2020?
So, how long have you been married?
I've been married for, this is rounded up to 10 years. I met my wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I met my wife 10 years ago this month and after the first, I'm not going to lie, she didn't put up much of a fight. Like, after the first week, like, seriously, dude, like, we met, like, on a Friday. The next Friday, she didn't move in, but since that next Friday, we spent every night together, as long as we're in the same town. If we were traveling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we dated pretty hard. Like, it was after a week. And then I knew I wanted to marry her on the second week. I was pretty sure on the first date. I'm like, yeah, this chick is cool. This is fun. And the reason why I knew that is because I was paying attention to what she was saying. Normally, like with other girls that I dated, and none of them listen to this podcast, thank God, but other girls, I would tune out so fucking fast. And I would kind of stare at their forehead and make it look like I was, so with Amy, I was actually intrigued.
Oh, I know that look.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I know you do. I lay it on pretty thick. But, So, no, I knew right off the bat, pretty much, you know, I would say on the second date or the third date, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to marry her. And then, or I'm like, it's going to last. And then like after the second week, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to I need to start saving for a ring. Yeah, so I did. Yeah. So 10 years.
So yeah. I think a lot of the dating apps have been around that long, right?
Mm-mm. Fuck
some,
no.
Well, some have. I think for the most part, no, it was like eHarmony and like Match, I think.
Back then, we had eHarmony and Match, if you wanted a like relationship. And then, I think I've told us one of the other podcasts, I used Yahoo Dating because it was free for like a hot minute. And I went on a couple of Yahoo dates. That was not good.
Let me tell you about them dates, boy.
So I remember because I went on a Yahoo date and like I took this chick out to this really nice Italian restaurant. I bought flowers and she was totally freaked out. She's like, I thought we were just going to go back to my place and fuck. I was like, well, goddamn, now I don't want to. Like, gross. You do that with everybody? Gross. Yeah, I'm like,
was it the flowers?
I don't know. I'm like, at least charge me money so I have some respect. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible. I'm just kidding. That's terrible. But no, it was weird. Yeah, yeah. So, no, back in the day, we didn't have like Tinder or Grindr or, I don't know, Farmers Only. We didn't have all that shit. Mm-hmm. We had eHarmony if you had the patience for like a 2-hour questionnaire. Or Match.com if you're like, all right, I'm busy. I just want to send out a shitload of winks to cast a wide net. So, yeah. So what is there now? What do you got now? What are you doing now? What are the kids doing now?
Well, I mean, I used to be on some of the dating apps, some of the dating sites. But it was always like a dead end, I think, with only because, you know, it was a free app. You know what I mean? So it's nothing like Match or eHarmony where they match you with the love of your fucking life. You know what I mean? So
they don't even do that.
You get what you get.
So, okay. So here's what I have to ask. On your end. Okay, all right. So real quick, you know what? When I post this, I'm going to put a picture of you. I'm going to have to find one flattering enough, but like not the one, like the recent one that you put like on Facebook where you're crying and no makeup.
Yeah, pick a good picture, dude.
No, but like seriously, like you are, I'm not gonna say you're like, you know, a high eight or high, well, you're a very attractive girl. I'm not gonna lie, like there's a lot of people I know, like I've put pictures of you, like, you know, us together on Facebook, and people are like IMing me and they're like, dude, who is that chick? I want to get her pregnant so bad. I'm like, dude.
Oh my God.
Yes. Like, seriously, guys are so fucking crude, man. And they're like, dude, I would totally let her give me AIDS. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, she's like, I would let her. I'm like, God damn. They're just, but like, seriously, you bring that out in people. And I've had guys, like super wealthy, single guys that are like, owners of companies and businesses that are like, dude, please give me your phone number. Like, I would die to meet her. And I'm like, God damn,
and
just
is
don't.
This the first time that I hear of this, Leonard.
Well, you were dating that guy. You're dating that. But like, I'm like, dude, God, she's not interested in desperate men. Ugh, gross, you know? Sorry, Elon Musk. No.
Oh my God.
But no, seriously, like you really are. No, so you're very, 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 very pretty. You're very, very pretty. I will tip my hat and say you're one of the very prettiest girls I know. I think you have a very exotic look. There's a lot of miles. There's a lot of city miles on those tires. But like,
oh my God.
But for a cougar, you are pretty fucking hot. So that being said, I have to imagine when you're on these apps, you got to be inundated or flooded with like winks or whatever the fuck, swipe lefts or swipe rights, or I don't know, what does Grindr use? Like, you've got to be inundated with that shit, aren't you?
I'm not on those websites anymore because of that reason.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not joking. Like, I'm being serious. When you were, were you getting hit up all the time?
Yes.
Yeah,
and, you know, and I don't want to sound conceited. I don't want to sound conceited. I just don't want to sound conceited at all, Lenny. I really don't. But, you know, at the same time, there was people gentlemen just swiping right and or left, or I don't know which way is it to accept.
I don't know.
Like
but they're giving you winks, whatever. Yeah.
So like I would always get, you know, people in my inbox, and that would only happen if I matched up with them, if I also swiped right. You know what I mean? So I'm guilty. But it, I think it was more so just to take me out. Let's go see where it's going to end up. Let's go for dinner. Let's go have some drinks. Let's go to a movie. You know, things like that. I really didn't ever think anything serious would come out of those.
But wait a minute. But that is dating.
Going out for a movie or a dinner?
Yes, that's called going out on a date. Like, you do that once. And then if you like the person, then you do it a couple more times. And if you keep liking it, you do it more. Like, that's what dating is.
Yeah, I don't think I ever went on more than 2 outings with somebody.
Really?
Really.
So how many dates did you actually go on with, like in the course of a year?
In the course of a year,
Okay, in the course of a month. In the course of a month, how many dates did you go on?
A month, maybe like 1 or 2 dinner dates. A movie or something. Yeah, it wasn't much at all, because I was very scared and worried about some of these guys that you would meet on these dating apps. You know, you have to be really careful.
Absolutely. So you would do like maybe 1 or 2 a month. And then what was it like going out? Like what did they keep pursuing, or did they stop pursuing?
They would keep pursuing, but at the same time, you know, I just wouldn't give in just because I wasn't interested. Maybe the conversation wasn't.
Sorry, I was coughing.
You know, maybe the conversation wasn't appealing to me, or maybe their pictures were lies.
That's basically what it really was.
Like, a lot of these guys would have profile pictures that were like 7 years old, dude.
Really?
You know, and I'm like, don't waste my time. Yeah, really.
Oh, get out of here. What is it? There's a phrase for that, where like you were goated or whatever.
Catfish.
You were catfished. No. Oh, shit. No kidding. You were catfished?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my God. So when... Oh, sorry. My earphones fell. When you said that, it knocked my earphones off. So you were catfished? What was that like? Was it like just older? Like dudes were like 7 years older or like 30 pounds heavier?
Yeah, basically, dude. Like, seriously, just 40 pounds heavier.
Were you, Margaret, ever guilty of that?
No, I'd always update my profile.
You're so cool. You know what, Margaret? I'm gonna need to see, what was your handle? I'm sure it was like Bean and Cheese Mama Margie or something like that. I gotta see some of your profile pictures. Let me be the judge of whether or not.
Well, they would pull your profile pictures off of your Facebook,
so they would know for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So they would know for sure. So like your main profile picture used to be your main Facebook picture, profile picture.
And that's why your Facebook picture is like 8 years old.
The one now? No, it's not.
Okay, so go on.
It's like 6.
So, all right. So these guys would go into Facebook, and then they would go on the app. They would like give you the wink. And then they would check your name against Facebook to get like the real deal, and like they would see the picture of you and all that stuff. So, okay, so then what?
Yeah, so then, you know, they would just see your profile, but I can't remember if your Facebook was linked to the Tinder profile.
Well, if your name,
it was just a picture that they would use. They would only use your picture and your birthday, from what I remember.
Well, if your name is on there, they could cross-reference that. I mean, that's kind of the weird thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And a lot of guys did. And then also, on top of, like, sending me, like, a Tinder message, they would also friend request me on Facebook.
Yeah. No, I mean, so Amy did that relatively early on. But then again, I liked her, and I was like, oh, like.
Yeah.
So, from the guy's perspective, what I found exhausting, I mean exhausting, about online dating is, like, you have to, like, you're not, you're not online dating and you're not engaging with one person and then that creates like a fruitful relationship. You're typically like, I hate to say you're casting a wide net, but you're like, oh, she's nice and she's nice and she looks interesting and I'd like to get to know more about her. And it really is from a genuine perspective, right? Like you're looking at somebody like, because here's the thing, like, and I told you this before I left San Antonio. Amy and I both told you this. I was like, you know, like when you go buy a house, you don't just drive around random neighborhoods that you want to live in and look and see if there's a for sale sign, right? Like you go on, you know, a website or whatever and you go see what's available and you're a little bit more strategic about it. And like when you're in your 30s or in your case, your 40s or late 40s, oh dating, my God. You know, you're not gonna go just like clubbing and like cruising around a club like, hey, oh shit, I don't see no
room.
No. You're not gonna do that. So like you're gonna be a little bit more strategic about it and everything. But what I found was it's like, so when you're doing it, it's for good reasons, but no, you're like, oh, she looks interesting. And you read her profile, you're like, oh, she's got, you know, this kind of a background, she works here, she's a business person, she likes it. I like her. I'm gonna see if she's interested in me. And you're still browsing. It's not like you do that when you're like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to bed. It's like, oh, and this one also looks interesting. She's got this, this, and this. I'd like to know more about her. And I would send her. Like, and then like, oh, and then there's a, so as a guy, you know, or when you're on these apps, you're like, oh, this one looks interesting. Now, and then you're like, oh, shit, I just started five conversations or, you know, conversations with five different women. And then, like, I got to give them all my story. They ask me the questions. I ask them the questions. And it just kind of gets exhausting because you're like, fucking A. And that's just from the guy's perspective. And I'm like an ugly dude. You are a very cute, you know, girl. So I'm assuming that you're getting like at least five times what I was giving out. If I'm giving out five, like, initiations, you're probably sitting there juggling 20. Is that talking about right?
A little less, Lenny. I mean,
okay.
On.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But
that would have been nice, though, right? Like, awesome galore.
So, like, I got introduced to my buddies, like, dude, I would totally get her pregnant, bro. Oh, God.
It is exhausting, though. It really is, because most of the time you're having the same fucking conversation with different people.
That's what I mean. And you're like, oh my God, did I tell John69 at Yahoo.com? Did I tell him about this and that? Like you forget. And it's not that you're saying like, and then imagine if you were lying. And like, if you weren't being honest, like, fuck, what lie did I tell that? Oh yes, no, I'm a pilot. I'm an aviator. I'm a naval aviator.
Yeah, you have to scroll up from like 2 weeks ago. Like,
what the fuck did I say? What did I tell you? So I can imagine that's super exhausting. And then you probably get a lot more. That's why I think like a lot of the dating apps, I think that's why they kind of fail, is because it takes a lot of perseverance and it takes a lot of work, because it's like, God, especially if you're a girl, you're probably just inundated with like requests or whatever, or initiations. And maybe I'm being too generous to you.
I haven't been on a dating app for like the past year and a half.
Well, let's get you back on there. Let's get you back on that saddle.
I don't know, Leonard.
What it's, don't you want?
It's so scary. It's scary. It's a little intimidating and very, very demanding at the same time. And shit, I'm all about virtual conferences right now. You know, you know what? That's a very good idea. Let me jump back on to these dating apps.
Exactly.
And
fucking
do virtual
Zoom
conferences, right?
Zoom
like virtual hookups.
Zoom dating. I'm thinking Zoom dating.
Thank you, Lenny. You're welcome, Margaret.
You're welcome. Fucking dude, seriously, I want to be invited to the weddings. I want to be at all your weddings, all of them.
Hey, I think that's a good idea, though, Leonard. I think you're onto something. Zoom dating.
Yeah, exactly. And the best thing is, you only need to dress from the top up. Like the way you can wear your pajama bottoms and be all gross and nasty from the way, they're not going to see that shit.
Yeah. Is that how you do your conference calls these days?
Everybody does. They were talking about Walmart's like, they've seen like a triple spike in like sales of tops for women, but like the bottoms are, nobody's buying the bottoms. They're like, ooh, I need this business blouse. They're buying blouses and smart blazers. They're buying all of the pantsuit except for the pants.
Oh Oh my gosh. Can I get half off? I just want the blazer and the shirt, please.
So, all right. So let me ask you this. When you're dating a guy, because this is, we've been talking for an hour. We haven't really got to the good stuff. All right. So when you're dating a guy, or when you're about to date a guy, what do you really look for besides like penis size?
I don't even think about that, Leonard. I don't.
No, I know. Guys do. Guys fucking talk about it all the time. You gotta think,
at least
like,
not on the first date. I don't think about it on the first date.
Oh God, you're so gross. Okay, so what do you typically like when you're about to date a guy? What is it that you're like looking for?
Smile is really, really big on my list. A good smile, right?
Was the last guy you dated, so you're Hispanic, but you're born in the United States, right? You're a Mexican-American?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm a Mexican-Mexican. I was born in Mexico, so I'm Mexican-Mexican. So anyways, so are you looking, was the last guy you dated also Hispanic or Mexican, or was he white? Was he Chinese?
Hispanic.
Have you ever dated anybody besides people from the Hispanic ethnicity?
Yes, I have.
Ah. So you dated like some Caucasian fellows?
Caucasian, yes, and black guys as well.
Okay. Well, the Caucasian ones are good references on resumes. If you're still looking for a job, they make a great reference. Also, if you need to buy a new car and you need like a somebody to co-sign. I'm just kidding. That's terrible. That's so bad. It is so bad. So you don't really care. You're not really. You're kind of open to all seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
So smiles,
it's more about smile, yes. Personality. They have to be funny. You know, show me some humor, sarcasm. You know how I am, Lenny.
So you like to laugh. You like to laugh. You don't want to sit down and go to dinner and talk about like the Financial Times or like the current market economy. You want to laugh. Do you like trash TV? Do you like to watch like reality TV?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh God damn. That shit melts your brain. Yeah, no. So like so you want to talk about The Bachelorette and shit like that.
No, that's stupid. See, I don't like that shit.
Okay, you don't get into details, but you like a little trash TV. You like, and then you want somebody that makes you laugh, somebody that's funny. What about like? So you really are. I don't even know. You're 4'11". You're like what, 5'1"? You're like Amy's height, right? You're pretty short.
Yeah, I'm short. Very
are
short,
you?
Yeah.
Are you? Or do you have the complex? Like some women I know that are tall, they're like, dude, I cannot date anybody shorter than me. Are you kind of stuck on that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think I've met any guy shorter than me. If I have, then he was, I looked over him. You know what I mean? Literally.
So here's another thing. It's funny how like attraction works because like, so for some people, and everybody's different, but for some people, attraction is like an immediate thing. And it's like, so for some people, like, You see somebody and you're like, I'm immediately attracted to her. And I don't care if she's a fucking pain in the ass. I am attracted to her. And then there's some people you meet, you're like, yeah, she's cool, whatever. You don't even think twice about having any kind of a relationship with them. But then like the more you get to know them, you're like, God damn, that chick is super cool. She makes me laugh all the fucking, like every time I'm around her, I feel good. I want to be around her all the time. And then all of a sudden an attraction builds. So like, where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself more on the side of like, no, I have to be immediately attracted to somebody and then hopefully the other boxes get checked? Or do you find yourself like over time you get attracted to people?
I think, yeah, I'm the second. So I think over time I become attracted to that person that I spend more time with, you know, but honestly, for the most part, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I put myself in this place, but I feel like for the most part, I put myself in the friend zone before he's in the friend zone before, you know.
Wait. That's exactly where I was going. So you think that you end up in the friend zone before he does, or you think you put him in the friend zone?
I put myself in the friend zone first. So, and this is my way of thinking. Like, if we can be friends first, then let's, you know, then that's cool. That's awesome.
Let's work
on a relationship.
I'm gonna put out a survey to the five listeners that I have, and I'll get there. And they're all dudes, by the way. But like, I'm pretty sure that every guy out there would, if they're single, wink, wink, would totally bang their friends. Like if they're like if they have a friend that's a girl, like I don't think a girl can put herself in the friend zone. It's weird that you say that, but I don't think that that's possible.
It's possible.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's very possible.
How do you know? How do you know?
Like you don't, because I don't have that attraction yet. I don't have that physical attraction to somebody yet.
Yeah.
So let's see how this friendship can go.
Yeah, I understand. You know, and, I understand then, that. But like, how do you know that you end up in the friend zone? Like the guy's like, oh, yeah, no, we're good. We're just friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's a clear sign. No way.
That's never happened. That has never happened.
No, but I mean, I'm saying like it can happen, right? Like he can introduce you as a friend and I'm like, okay, hey.
Well, hey. No, but even if they do, that's usually probably that. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know everything, even though I do know a lot.
It's different. It's already been 10 years since you were, you know, in that.
No, it doesn't matter. Because I had friends that just went through this shit. Like it's not. So listen, like if a guy introduces you as like if like you're in a situation where like you've had a couple of dates or you've just hung out in groups and they're like, oh, she's cool as shit and hang out. When you're at a group event or when you're at like a group party or you're out together, you're the ones talking and sitting next to each other for the majority of the night. Like that probably means that there's like, no, I like you and you like me. Whether it's romantic or not is separate, but like I like your company and he likes your company. So whatever you want to call that, that's probably happening. If he takes it a step further and says, and introduces like, this is my friend Margaret, he's not doing that because he's like, this is somebody that's like a friend and I don't want to have sex with her, unless he's gay. Because for the most part, guys are just kind of wired to want to have sex with everybody. Like that's not, like guys can flip that switch. Yeah, I don't know. And again, guys, so the question is for the five listeners, you know, can a guy actually have a girl in the friend zone that he doesn't really want to have sex with because he's afraid to ruin the friendship? Like, because that's what the friend zone means. Friend zone means like, I want you as, you know what the friend zone is? Zachary put you in the friend zone. Zachary said, you know what? I don't want to pay you to work for me anymore, but I'm going to have these other people work for me instead. But in case this shit doesn't work out or if the market gets a lot better, I need your help. Can I call you back? Like, Zachary put you in the fucking
friend zone.
That's friend zone shit, right? You know, like we're not good. We're not a good match. It's not you. It's me. But just in case it doesn't work out with these other people, can I call you?
It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
Yeah. But that's what happened there. Like, this is not. So anyways, guys, I don't think, and again, for the listeners, let me know. Send me an email. Send me a text. I don't know. I just... Unless you're talking to a guy that's married, have him like, yeah, of course, yeah, she's my friend. But like, if it's a single guy that's straight, nah. And again, I don't want to give. Okay, I don't want to make your head too big. You're pretty cute. You can carry your own. You know, you could go. You're not going to be catfishing that many people. You know, like you're a good catch, I guess. So, I don't know. Fucking eight. It's been an hour and 15 minutes we've been blabbering. Did we accomplish anything? We accomplished a lot.
Yeah, we did. For sure.
So listen, we need to do this again, I think. Let's see how many people like this podcast. And maybe we can do this again and we can pick up where we left off. If you'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. This was fun. I enjoyed myself, Leonard.
Do you feel better now?
You didn't even get to tell the story about Leonard.
We'll save that. We will save. You know what? It's not even really that funny. It is actually
bullshit. So, bullshit. You fucked up. That's so funny.
We'll save. All right, we'll save that one for the next one. It'll be a nice little teaser. We'll open the next episode. Maybe we'll publish in a couple of days and we'll open it. Oh, by the way, I don't edit any of this shit. I used to. Like back in the day, I would listen to the podcast and like, ooh, that didn't sound good. Or maybe I'll take that out. Or, ooh, she sounds kind of dirty and slutty. Maybe I'll make it sound better. Nah, like it's going from this to the fucking internet. And then it gets pushed to everybody's fucking podcast, whatever they listen to. So it's going out.
Oh, my God.
It'll probably go out tomorrow just because it's late. I want to have another whiskey. But anyways, yeah, no. Let's do it as a teaser. Let's do this again later this week if we can. And we'll continue where we left off because this is fascinating. I want to talk to my friends because like I've had friends that recently, like they were kind of in your age. I mean, maybe a little bit younger, that were, you know, divorcees, and then they were back in the field, and they were same kind of a thing about like just being exhausted with the dating, the online dating, and it's super hard. But I think it's super cool to have your perspective on here because, like, I feel that everybody kind of thinks the same way, but we kind of have to train ourselves and then like, oh no, it's different. It's gotta be different. But it's like, everybody's the same girl, like people just want to feel valued, whether it's at work or whether it's at home. And they want assurances that what they're doing is right. They want affirmations. They want to be told that they're right. Like it's not like there's it's not like there's a secret recipe or anything like that. So I mean, but nonetheless, it's a fascinating curiosity. So we got to explore it some more. Anyways,
yay.
So this was fun. This is my friend Margaret. We're gonna have another one of these really soon, and hopefully, man, you know what would be great is since you're not doing nothing, you can move to Houston. And we could do, because I will say once this virus gets over, it's better if we do these live. Maybe you can move.
Yeah,
to
that would be a lot more fun.
So step one, let's get rid of the COVID. Step two, by the way, for people that are listening in the future, like in 2030, whatever, in 2020, we had this global pandemic called coronavirus, COVID-19. And our nation is on, or our world is on basically a shutdown. But anyways, once we get through the global shutdown and we can move around more and then and the economy picks back up again, I will find you a job in Houston that will pay you double that you're getting paid in San Antonio. So you and Soel can move to Houston and you can live close to me and then we can do podcasts and we can do this more regularly. How does that sound?
That sounds amazing.
Also, by the way,
I've been wanting to move to Houston for the longest time.
I need to do
that. You know that.
I do know that. And also, I hope you weren't expecting on getting paid for this because this is totally pro bono, right?
Oh, no. From you? No. Yeah,
yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Even if I told you, I'm not good for it.
But I'll be looking out for that mug, though.
Oh, yeah. You get the coffee. Well, you got to be here. You got to be here in person. If you're here in person, you get the coffee
just kidding.
Mug. No. Seriously, mug. I got boxes of that shit. Like, the co-hosts of this show get a coffee mug. Come on, it's the least that I could do. Like, literally,
That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so listen, we got to wrap it up. We got to stop blabbering. Okay. Anyways, it was fun. Thank you so much. I love you very much. Best of luck
with
everything.
Thank you. Love you.
And we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Leonard.
All right. Bye, Margie. Bye.